Mr. Herman.
Poop again! Party on, dudes!
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I am Steven.
I am drinking a cola.
Yeah, that's right. Hello.
I'm Matt. That's me.
Yeah. Yeah. Only for right now. I'm currently taking auditions for replacements for Matt.
Yeah. But in the interim, you got me.
Yeah, exactly. Not really. But welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. Thank you for joining us for our last 2 weeks, which, as you heard in our 2003 episode, we recorded in the same day.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us for 2003 and 2002. They are getting very, very good download numbers.
Oh, yeah. Very popular.
Very,
you guys
very
really
happy
like
those
retrospectives.
Yes. Thank you very much, all of you, for your feedback. We've gotten several people giving feedback. Mm-hmm. I'd like to give a shout-out, though. We always give shout-outs, you know, to a lot of the standard people, your Dave Littles, your Joe Gilberts, our mom, our sister, Matt Swofford. We have several people who always reach out to us, which is always, always very appreciated.
Oh, yeah. And it's never a, it's them again, because they do it so much, like it always means a lot.
Yeah, exactly. One person who actually has been listening to our shows for years and is constantly like telling me when he's listening and giving feedback.
Yeah,
our buddy and coworker Derek Gove.
Yeah,
like Derek is always like the three of us work together. Derek kind of works in my department of operations.
Yeah.
So I work with him every day and he's always got his headphones in. It's either music or podcasts or a D&D, visual podcast, you know, stream he watches. But Derek is always great about letting me know when he listened or if he's currently listening. And, like we can be silly on here, but we also like are just still, I mean, we
just appreciate
it. It's still so appreciative, especially when people, you know, vocalize it to us. Yeah. And I'm always like, well, thanks, man. He's like, well, yeah, I like listening to you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate. And it's one of those things to where we do it for us, but also like, you know, we put together something we're proud of and we want people to hear it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get a little discouraged because you're like, I don't even know if anyone's listening. Yeah, I'm listening to these downloads, I'm looking at these downloads like on our hosting website, and you get in your own head about it, and you're like, yeah, but how much is that? Because on the internet, there's like bots, and then there's, you know, if you just click subscribe, like, is that just always counted as a download? Does this actually reflect whether or not anyone's listening, or that they just hit subscribe, or they just downloaded an episode, you know, just stuff like that. It's not always indicative as to whether or not someone is physically listening.
Yeah.
So it's nice when people out of the blue, they're just like, oh yeah, this episode is really good, or hey, just listen to this, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. But Derek had been catching up on our shows since November at work, and he let me know when he was listening to one, or he would comment about something on there.
Yeah.
So Derek, I always just know him as Derek. Like he's always just been Derek. So he's lamenting to me before how some people always mess up his name.
Gov.
So I'm working with Derek for almost 3 years, and I might have messed up the pronunciation of his name, even though he's lamented to me about how people mess it up. But you're Derek to me. You're Derek to me.
You're just Derek to me.
Yeah, you're just, he's always a Derek to me.
D-Rock. You're always D.
D-Rock, yes.
You're big D.
Either way, Derek,
D-Man.
Yes, Derek. Thank you so much. We have never given you a shout out on here, but
that's crazy.
It's always well deserved because you are someone who has been low key, you know, following us and supporting us for the last 3 years. So thank you. And we're also thinking about some of our March shows. I think we got our schedule down, and Derek may be involved in there. So it's maybe the first he's hearing about it, but I'll make sure to tell him before this episode comes out so it isn't.
And before his episode, too.
Yeah. So we'll make sure to let him know before he's on.
Oh, oops.
But we are looking forward to a little little sneak peek for the March shows. We still have another week in February that we'll be recording, and it'll release the first week of March. But when we start recording in March, it's going to be Martial Arts Month here on the Radcast.
So all martial arts movies, but not like typical ones.
Right.
Like, oh, we're going to do a bunch of Bruce Lee movies, or we're going to do Jackie Chan movies, or, you know, stuff like that. We've got our own little lineup that we've catered for martial arts.
Yeah. Starting with... which I can kind of say it now because we've lined up a recording session. As of today, February 20th, President's Day.
Merry President's Day.
We're gonna name off some of the presidents here momentarily.
I salute our forefathers.
And our foremothers.
Foremothers for curating a perfect society.
This is the perfect union. U.S. means us and United States.
We are called United States because we are all united.
We are all orphans. Yes, thank you. Anyway, so Martial Arts Month, we have our first recording session lined up as of today, February 20th. We'll be recording the first weekend of March on the 30th anniversary of Surf Ninjas.
Yes, if you're familiar, it is a movie with surfing and ninjas, and we'll go more into it when the episode comes out.
Yes, we are planning on recording with our mom.
Yep.
Our sister Samantha making her fifth appearance. We'll be able to celebrate that. And we'll have a very special guest, at least as of today.
Yeah.
It's nobody worked on the movie, so don't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
But it's someone better than
very
that.
Unexpected to us when it was when the suggestion was made. But very welcomed.
Welcomed.
Yeah. I don't know what word. I was very excited. And I was very eager to accept.
Yeah, so you all will hear who it is when the time comes. It'll also be in the title of the episode. But we're excited for that. And then we'll kind of let you know as it happens, or you'll just see when they're released what else we got cooking.
Yeah.
So all that being said, those are some kind of boilerplate things out of the way. I guess, well, where can they find us?
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram, okay? No, your search is over. Find us on Instagram. We're at The Radcast. Cast is spelled with a K. The Radcast is all one word. That's our only social media. So follow us there. You can find us on all major podcast apps, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all of them. And then wherever it is applicable, make sure to rate and review if you feel so inclined. It helps us out. There's a wide, deep, flowing sea of podcasts out there, and by no means do we think we're going to get to the level of a Joe Rogan.
No,
but it just helps. It helps us out. Any little thing helps. So
many things are algorithm based.
Yeah,
and a lot of what moves the needle.
Yeah.
Are how many 5-star reviews something gets.
Yeah,
how many 5-star reviews with, like, review or 5-star ratings with reviews.
Right.
So whatever you can do. But I think we're moving along just fine with you all.
Yeah.
You know, those of you that give us feedback pretty regularly, whether it's to us through text, through Instagram, you can just, if you have our numbers, you can reach us there. Or if you're listening to this and you just know us through Instagram, reach out to us there. We love you. Thanks.
Exactly.
You.
And if you go follow our Instagram, something that I'm doing, because I run that page. Something that I'm starting to do now, which I'm very, very
excited about,
I just got an iPhone.
And
my previous phone, like Androids, there is a screen record feature, but I had an Android that was older, so I would have had to download a third-party app to do like screen recording, but I recently got an iPhone 14, which has screen recording on there. So what I've been doing and what I will continue to do is I'm going to be picking out snippets from different episodes in our archive that are some of our wackiest, funniest, zaniest things, and posting it on our Instagram, and or if anything, to encourage you to go listen to those episodes, dig through the archives, because there's a lot of good shit out there.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot out of 110 episodes of just this.
Yeah.
You may be throwing a curveball and posting a Sucktastic episode.
We have a lot of good Sucktastic cinema episodes,
too. We have over 200 episodes worth of just excellent content, whether it's just Matt and I on here, Sucktastic, our numerous, you know, our myriad of guests, or it's the wonderful podcast we did with Jeff Wright, Jake Vielwald, and Zach Matthews, the Proper Gentleman podcast, which is what we dipped our toe in the podcast waters with. So we have so many things at our disposal, and we are so excited. If you've never digging deep in our archives, we're so excited to give you snippets of what that sounds like. And not to mention, in promotion of the current episodes, you'll post snippets of that before the new episodes come out. So just, I fully trust you, baby.
For sure. And it's just fun because I can't tell you how many times I'll be listening to an episode and something funny comes up to where that I forgot about, or it's got a good flow, or it's like, man, this is really good stuff. And the thought in my head goes like, man, I really want people to hear this because this is really funny or good or informative or insightful, whatever. And now I have the ability to isolate some things and kind of give you a taste and give you sort of a little taste of things, make you want to go, listen,
make you want to jump.
Yeah, exactly. But I know
make you want to jump.
This seems like a lot of rambling, and that's for good reason because. This is a Radcast ramble.
Yes.
We figured that out as soon as yesterday evening. That's what we were going to do. If there's one thing on the show we champion, it's transparency. And originally, it was going to be a Radcast riff, which we haven't done in a long time.
Right.
Just because we always set out a schedule. We always have, you know, the utmost, you know, intent on having some sort of order in this, but
organization.
But sometimes, you know, we call audibles a lot. You don't know that, but there's a lot of times to where we try and keep it regimented, but it's just, sometimes we just want to be like, you know, let's talk about this or let's do this. Yeah. Or over these next few weeks, let's kind of buck what we've been doing.
Sure.
And do this. So it's been a while since we've kept any sort of regimented schedule to where we do a riff.
Oh yeah. And there are a lot of podcasts that don't want to give you a peek behind the curtain for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, they make it a rule not to do it when I think it's okay to be transparent and be like, hey, we intended to do this, but now we're doing this.
Yeah.
And we're still going to commit to doing a good job. I just never understood the harm in giving you a little taste, a little peek at things.
And everybody has their reasons, but we feel like you deserve it because you give us your time.
Yeah.
If not every week or on that day that we release it, you give us some sort of hour out of one of your days. You give us your time and your energy.
Yeah, we owe it to you to make it worth your while.
Yeah. So originally we were going to do a riff on the Hulk Hogan, quote-unquote, film, Thunder in Paradise. What it was combining two or three episodes of the television show Thunder in Paradise and releasing it as a made-for-TV movie or straight-to-video movie.
Yeah, in hopes it would become a series.
Yeah, which it did.
It did.
It did for like 14 episodes.
Dang.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things to where I don't know if it was just my... Because how we do those riffs, generally it'll be... I will watch it once or twice. Matt will watch it once or twice. Yeah. I think you've just been doing once.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'm trying to get back into it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no set way that we do it. I just prefer to watch it twice because I'm the one mainly who's been writing kind of the synopsis of the movie and adding comedic commentary on there. Or like writing comedic, you know, outlines of the movie and Matt adds his commentary.
Yeah, I almost said rigid. It's not rigid, but there's like an actual organized format to those episodes. Just coming off of what we did in Sucktastic Cinema. We really like it that way.
Yeah.
It still gives us an opportunity to be funny. It gives Steven an opportunity to actually interweave jokes into when he's breaking down the movie and stuff.
Yeah, it's, and those are like some of the proudest things that I feel like, for me personally, I've contributed to the podcast is because I've really like prided myself, and I know you have too, on being a comedy writer.
Sure.
So whether it's the This Month in History segments or adding jokes in the our Euro Year retrospectives, adding jokes for like when I do any of the sections I'm entrusted with doing, whether it's
you know, world events,
yeah,
or even like deaths, how we're, yeah, we can be stupid in that.
Yeah.
Or anytime we can infuse jokes in a good way, that's one of the things I pride myself on having some sort of talent for. And I think any creative can tell you, or any comedy writer can tell you, that it doesn't work out as well when you try to force things, yeah, to happen. And whenever, I know me personally, whenever I sit down to watch a crummy movie,
yeah,
like whether it's the first or second time, I'd like to go in as I watch it with some sort of idea of how to lay out the jokes,
yeah,
how to word certain things when I'm summarizing parts of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I'd like to work into a groove, because at the end of the day, when I listen back, whether it gets a laugh from somebody or doesn't, I want to hear that joke and be like, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I didn't force that one,
right,
just to put something on the quote unquote page, because I do it on the notes in my phone. So it's something that I have to be proud of when I listen to it.
Right.
And it was one of those things where the first time I watched it, I was like, all right, I'm not feeling it. Like, I'm not feeling like, and it's not for lack of being, like, it wasn't terrible.
No.
Like Thunder in Paradise,
but also,
it's not good either. And it's prime for something like that.
I was going to say, and the frustration comes in to where, because usually, and this was before we had a podcast, anytime I watched a bad movie, there was always some mechanism in my brain that was like, okay, what's the joke here? What's the joke? And you get this, like, frantic, overwhelming, like, you can't enjoy it. Like, I get this feeling, like, in my brain to where it's like, oh, where is it? Where is it? Like, when you sort of put yourself on the spot, it's just you draw a blank, and it's not there. Whereas if you're just sitting, things just naturally come.
It's tougher to not force something when you go in with the expectation of making fun of something.
Yeah.
Which I feel like it was harder for me to deviate from that before we did Sucktastic. But when we started going into things with the expectation of coming up with jokes,
it
became easier to kind of like delineate between those two mindsets. Either way, maybe it's because we've been away from doing a riff or something like that in a while, or maybe my headspace and I'm in a different spot right now. By no means in a spot to where I'm never going to make fun of movies
again. Of course not.
Absolutely not. For as long as I live, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But it just, I wasn't feeling it. And just because we set a movie, just because we were like, all right, we're going to do a riffs, I'm not going to force anything. Like,
no.
I'm not going to try to, if I don't feel a groove, if I don't feel flow in any part of the time I'm watching the movie, or if I think about moments in the movie and nothing's coming to me, I'm not going to try and force it.
Yeah.
So yesterday I was like, wait, I told Matt, like, you know, and it's kind of a shot to my confidence too, because it's something that I pride myself in. And if I can't come up with anything, I don't feel like a failure, but I'm just like, ugh, like, why?
Especially when you're frustrated, you're like, it's here, like, this movie, like we said, it's prime for that kind of thing, and there's so many things, you're sitting there like, oh, there's a joke here, why am I not, why is nothing coming to me? And then you're like putting so much pressure on yourself, you're like, make a joke, make a joke, and you end up coming up with something that is just inferior to what you expect from yourself, kind of thing.
Yeah. And it is one of those things too, I don't want to keep, we have a wellspring of episodes we can do re-releases with.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep relying on a re-release though. I want, one thing we also have prided ourselves on is how relatively consistent we stay with releasing episodes, especially comparatively to people who started podcasts during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Maybe a year with, you know, a year, you know, into the pandemic or whatever, not shitting on those people at all.
No, of course not.
It's an easy thing to get into. Mm-hmm. You don't need to spend a whole lot of money, and you don't need a whole lot to start a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's something that is a viable media outlet and option, and you can stretch your creativity. So I'm not shitting on that at all.
Of course not.
But one of the things that kind of separates people is the consistency of releasing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make you better than them. It doesn't mean you're going to be a success. It just,
no.
If you stay with consistency, I've been under the attitude of, we, also behind the curtain, we don't get paid for any of this.
No.
I know people have asked us before. We don't have a Patreon yet.
Yeah.
That's something we've seriously been talking about. And even then, we're not going to charge anything more than maybe $5.
Yeah.
But we don't make money from this. We do it because we kind of feel like we have to get all of this stuff out.
Yeah.
But whether it's comedic or not or whatever, we just love having discussions with people over these things.
Yeah.
We are all interested in. But even though we don't get paid, we still want to have a work rate that is consistent with, you know, if we would get paid for it, or if somebody would hire us to do it, blah, blah, blah. We're used to work rate.
We've developed that discipline
mm-hmm.
in that way. Like, the stakes are maybe higher, but we know what it's like to be consistent with mm-hmm. something.
And more importantly, we know we have an audience of people that enjoy our episodes. They subscribe to us and, you know, are excited to see what the new release is going to be.
When we don't have an episode, they get in touch with us and they're like, oh, no new episode this week. Or like, oh, you know, are you guys not putting out an episode? Mm-hmm. So there's an engaged audience mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
It's not just us talking to each other and it's just getting lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. So it's also, you know, I don't feel good about skipping weeks and recording. I don't feel good about, like, re-releases of things that, you know, people have already heard. You know, there's the hope that someone who hasn't heard it when we did it mm-hmm. for Sucktastic, or we did it 3 years ago for the Radcast, that somebody's never heard it.
Yeah.
There's that hope that it reaches new ears. But still, for me, I want to feel like we're consistently putting out new material.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was running into thought process wise. I was like, I'm not going to force anything for a riff for a new episode, but also I want to put out a new episode. So we can always do a ramble, just you and I.
Yeah.
And
we can still talk about Thunder in Paradise on this episode.
Yeah. I don't really want to anymore, though.
Okay. Never mind.
So
Hulk Hogan's got a beautiful body.
Yeah, he is. He's in a Speedo a lot in this.
Yeah.
And I know it may seem silly. There's a difference between wrestling trunks and a Speedo, like look-wise. I can't explain it. Maybe it's because, like, I don't know. I can't explain it. It's just somebody may just, you know, say they may interchange the two.
Yeah, wrestlers were – they're not – no, they're not. They're wearing wrestling trunks.
Yeah. And I know it's kind of a silly thing to, like –
yeah.
We're not up in arms about it, but it's just one of those things where watching wrestling.
24-inch pythons.
Yeah, exactly.
You're talking about arms.
Yeah, he choked out a python in this movie.
Oh, yeah, he did.
But there are a lot of self-referential things in there.
It's very meta.
Yeah.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Georgie Porgy Lucas. But it's just odd because being wrestling fans for as long as we were, and even if you just know Hulk Hogan from wrestling, you know he has a certain attire, and that's all throughout Hulkamania, or the height of Hulkamania, it was wrestling, you know, underwear, trunks, whatever. It just was strange seeing him in a Speedo several times.
Yeah. Unless you watch Hogan Knows Best.
Yeah,
pretty sure he's in a Speedo a couple times on that television
show.
Or
you watched a sex tape.
Yes, very true. They were in love.
Shame on you.
Shame.
Double shame.
Not a Full House reference.
Yeah.
I don't think we can go an episode out making a Full House reference.
I think there's some sort of demand now for a Full House something or another on here.
I would like to do that.
Yes.
Full House, some sort of Full House content.
Yeah. I've always thought maybe for a Patreon and do a whole series called TGIF it. It's just taking various TGIF shows and going episode by episode.
Yeah.
It's a very lofty thing to do.
Sure.
We can do it though.
Yeah.
But it's
I got nothing else going on.
Yeah, exactly. This is it for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Give us your feedback. Would you rather that be a Patreon exclusive?
Yeah.
Or would you rather us at least starting with Full House, that being an episode by episode thing on quote unquote free TV.
Yeah.
but are we giving away a hot main event on free TV, much right. like WCW.
Hogan and Goldberg.
Yeah.
Back to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. But no, I don't really want to talk anymore about Thunder okay. in Paradise.
I got notes on it, but okay.
Hey, well, no, okay. You got some notes? What do you got to say? What are your notes?
A lot of this stuff, I'm going to give you some notes. And yeah. I think I'd prefer to be out of context yeah. for the listeners.
It came out in 1993, which it'll be celebrating 30th anniversary.
Yes.
And before you get into that, there is something that I would like to point out whenever we do those year-by-year retrospectives, yeah. we say we don't cover everything. There are sometimes things that slip through the cracks that were important to us that I think in hindsight, we're like, shit, we forgot that.
Yeah.
One of those in the 2003 episode was Beautiful Letdown by Switchfoot
yeah.
came out.
Yes.
Which was a massive album, popular album behind the single Meant to Live.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what's the slower song?
Oh, This Is Your Life.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, play.
Are you who you want to
be? Yeah, and they play that during
Extreme Makeover
Home Edition.
Yeah.
Or Extreme Makeover Human Edition.
Yeah, what a gross show.
Dare You to Move was the other one.
Dare You to Move.
Yeah, yeah. Dare You to Move. Yeah, that one. Yes, thank you. But that was a CD that we listened to a ton in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you that listened to our 05 and 04 episodes, middle school was big for us.
Yeah,
like,
I loved
middle school. Enjoyed middle school.
Yeah.
And that was a CD that got played so much it got scratched up. But the time that we bought that,
yeah,
or it was a birthday present. It was a day we were leaving yeah. camp, which I hated camp. But we were leaving camp
which
for
I
our
hated
birthday,
camp.
And we were leaving camp that day for our birthday, and we were gonna go to a Cardinal game with our parents.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. But we had to go back the next day, so whatever.
Can we just like stay here? I don't want to go to camp.
But our parents picked us up, and we stopped at a Walmart in Podunk Town in Missouri.
Yep.
And our mom told us we could pick out a couple things for our birthday. So one of them was a Three Stooges,
DVD
box set, quote unquote box set. It was two DVDs that came in a box.
Yeah,
but it was a few different Stooges pieces of media throughout the Stooges, run in pop culture or in American culture.
Right.
One of them were a lot of public domain Three Stooges shorts, which there were a few shimp. They're mainly shimps. It's not giving no hate to shimps.
Sure.
But the very first one was Disorder in the Court.
Yes.
Which is probably the best public domain. One of the best Stooges shorts.
Yeah.
It's prime Larry Curly Moe.
Yeah.
And probably the best one in the public domain.
Yep.
But as soon as that started playing, absolutely, like, I was familiar with the Stooges. I liked whenever we'd mm-hmm. watch them, but after that became, and just fell in love with the Three
became
Stooges.
A stooge.
Became a few knuckleheads.
A few knuckleheads.
Yes, exactly. And then the other thing was the
knuckleheads.
The other thing was the CD Beautiful Letdown from Switchfoot, which the song Meant to Live was played a lot at our church camp that week, and I really liked that song.
Yeah.
And I saw, that's that song. This is the CD with that song on it. And then from there on out, we listened to it all the time. So that CD reminds me of middle school, and it's one thing that I texted you and was like, we forgot a Beautiful Letdown. I put it in the graphic for one of the graphics for Instagram, but we didn't mention it in the 2003 episode.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention it here.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. So your notes from Thunder in Paradise.
Some out of context notes.
Yes.
For the listeners. So maybe entice you. Hopefully you feel enticed to go to paradise.
Ah, yes.
Nope.
Thunder! That was like the start of the song at the beginning.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So my first note is they driving. They driving a speedboat, but they drop below decked to a command center in a speedboat.
Sounds like someone's YouTube comment where English is their second language.
Yeah, exactly.
but they're making a good point.
Yeah, there's a Batmobile. Hulk Hogan. Ooh, I'm realizing I have to provide it. Hulk Hogan and his little buddy in this movie, who's Jack Lemmon's son in real life.
Brew.
Yeah, Brew.
Brew Baker.
Brew.
Scared you.
Like, he's a ghost.
Yes, exactly.
Brew.
They
created this boat called Thunder,
mm-hmm.
and it's a state-of-the-art, it's a speed boat.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like the Batmobile.
Yeah.
And there's several shots of them dropping below deck to a command center, uh-huh. like it's a submarine or something.
Ah, yes.
And there's several shots in the movie to where Brew is working yes. on the boat, and there's clearly no second level because mm-hmm. it's a speedboat.
Right.
Not a submarine.
Well, maybe it's like an iceberg to where you see a little bit of the top and then the bottom.
Don't justify this.
I just watched a real-time depiction, 3D depiction of the Titanic sinking.
Yeah,
so,
it's like a four-hour video.
2 hours and 43 minutes.
Oh, okay, right.
It's very eerie.
Yeah.
And then there are little, like, blurbs that come up that say, at this point, like, this is happening.
There's that one. There's a newer one
oh.
where this guy's giving narration of little instances of
ooh,
what was happening going on.
I'm
in the middle of it now.
I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hulkster with an eye patch. Hopefully we get some continuity errors where it being on the wrong eye.
We don't.
Later in the movie, we realize he doesn't even need the eye patch.
Yeah.
I thought he had some sort of war wound, but actually he just got sucker punched.
Yeah.
It's speculated. So if you're familiar with WrestleMania 9,
yeah.
and when Hogan comes back to the WWF
mm-hmm.
after filming Thunder in Paradise, mm-hmm. he had a noticeable eye injury.
Yes.
And it's speculated that Macho Man Randy Savage punched him in the eye.
I hope that's what it was.
Yeah. What Hogan tells people is that, like, didn't someone, like, hit him with a speedboat or something? Like,
yeah, yeah, a whole speedboat went in his eye.
No, I mean like a bath toy.
I was lucky to pull it out, brother.
Yeah.
I pulled that speedboat right out of my eye.
And I heaved it across the lake.
Then I grabbed it by its dorsal fin, brother.
Yeah, brother.
My daddy's dancing with Shamu, brother.
Yeah, there are a couple points in this where I was like, he's borrowing things from his promos.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it opens and he's wearing an eye patch.
Yeah.
And he takes it off later. And I'm like, wait, he doesn't need the
that's
eye patch?
That's his WrestleMania 9 injury.
Yeah. And that's why he like... took it off. He took the eye patch off to, like, mm-hmm. freak out. He's friends with a little girl in this movie, too.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, look at my eye. And she's like, ew, gross. And I was like, is that the WrestleMania 9 injury?
Yeah, that's the one.
And I was reading the trivia on IMDb, and indeed it is.
Mm-hmm.
But turns out he got sucker punched by some guy in the movie, which we don't see, which I wish we would have seen.
Yeah, Kowalski, played by Jim the Clanville Neidhart.
Yeah, exactly. Jim the Clanville Neidhart.
Mm-hmm.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah.
Who there's a lot of Hogan hangers-on in this movie,
yeah.
too. Mainly Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Jimmy Hart.
Who play no significant role.
No.
It's literally just sitting there like, oh, Hogan put his best friends in the movie.
Of course. You can't get anything Hulk Hogan, especially this time, without the beefer and the mouth of the South.
Yeah, exactly. And they are perfect. I say, like, have you no shame, and it's pathetic, but also, like, if your best friend was the tippy top of your profession
mm-hmm.
and wants to bring you along,
yeah.
I don't see how you decline that offer.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Fred Ottoman, Tugboat. In the WWF,
yeah.
He was in the second Thunder in Paradise, quote-unquote, movie.
Which is on YouTube.
Both of these are on YouTube.
Yeah, Giant Gonzalez,
yeah.
there, who had arguably the worst match in WWE history with mm-hmm. The Undertaker, WrestleMania 9.
At WrestleMania 9.
Yeah. He was also, this had a very Baywatch feel to
yes.
it. Because wasn't it like the developers of Baywatch were like trying to...
It's very, very... A lot of the shots, a lot of the way dialogue is delivered. Of course, Bikini Babes.
Yeah.
It's something set on a beach.
Yeah.
It was very much...
Yeah.
Like an offshoot of Baywatch somehow. Like, I'm surprised David Hasselhoff didn't make an appearance.
Yeah, at least at the beginning, like Mitch Buchanan mm-hmm. on the beach being like, hey, Spence? Because that was Hogan's name in the movie.
Yeah, well, what Jack Lemmon's son? He plays Brew. He had a lot of the same type of mannerisms and line delivery and kind of same personality as Mitch Buchanan.
Right.
I was hoping they would have developed a new odd couple. Or no, Jack Lemmon wasn't the odd couple.
Yeah.
No, well, the movie, the odd couple movie was Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau. The television show was Jack Klugman and Tony Randall.
That's right, because we brought up Tony Randall and the deaths in
mm-hmm.
one of them, and I was like, the odd couple, Tony Randall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the odd couple movie, that's right.
Yeah.
We need a new odd couple.
Yeah.
With Jack Lemmon's son and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, exactly.
They're both still alive.
Yes, they are.
Hulkster doesn't need the eye patch in the movie.
Yeah, not for the rest of it anyway.
Yeah, His Brew says brother a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like at the beginning, he's like, you got it, brother. And then my notes is curious to see how many times brother will be said.
Yeah.
Not as many as I thought, but it appeared as though Jack Lemmon's son was trying to hijack and make it his own catchphrase.
Hijack.
Yeah, hijack. He's to hijack.
Or
it.
As he would say, hi, Dad.
exactly. They had this secret handshake. No, it wasn't a secret. They had this little handshake thing where they hit the backs of their fists together
and then thumbs up.
Which happened at the beginning of the movie because it's the theme, Thunder in Paradise, playing while they're just driving their speedboat as B-roll.
Because they're on a mission.
Yeah, which I'll get into that, too.
Yeah.
When they did it, I was like, oh, that's their thing. That's they're introducing their thing.
Yep.
And so, what did I say? Oh, he says brother a few times, and it almost feels comedic. Like, are you ribbing him right now?
Exactly.
Or he's like, I'm in a movie with Hulk Hogan. Like, I'm going to say brother.
Mm-hmm.
Hulkster in his bad knees as an action star always felt weird. Plus, he's so big, his body movements are weird.
Exactly. They really are. It's really strange, like, to watch him just walk.
Yeah.
Especially, like, in civvies. Plus, he's wearing jeans and, like, cowboy boots, which is very reminiscent of his comeback attire, which was tights and his boots.
Yes.
So I was like, you know, planting some seeds here.
There you go. Yeah. He just moves weird.
Yeah.
He has steroid belly, so like him inside regular hanging right over a Speedo. Yeah,
exactly. Just him and just regular clothes. It's odd. He's a very oddly proportioned man.
Yeah, when he's not in the wrestling ring to where it's permissible, you're like, you just look strange.
It's incredibly noticeable when you're around like
regular
normal
people.
Yeah.
Is the beach such a self-sustaining society? It has its own newspaper.
Oh yeah,
because there's a lot of things introduced at the beginning, and then like you can tell this is a few episodes stitched together of a TV show.
It definitely is.
With the Baywatch aesthetic and feel, and like there's no, like they introduce a plot, but they're constantly adding things to the plot, and it kind of swings back around at the end in a weird way.
Supposed to be like, there's like three different things happening at the beginning. They're rescuing hostages, which it's like this Cuban ambassador in America who's asked Spence and Brew to go save his wife and his son who's being held hostage, I guess, by the communist government.
Yeah.
And their names are something in Alfredo, but it sounds like Hulk says we need to save Mellow Yellow and Alfredo. And I was like, oh, there's no Mellow Yellow and Alfredo, like Alfredo pasta in Florida.
It's just weird product placement.
But they're saving them, and then there's like a hard cut to now there's this hotel heiress has inherited her father's hotel, but her uncle there's something with the will that he like undercut her some way. So she needs to get married in a certain amount of time in order to get the hotel, or else the uncle's going to take over. And then that's kind of the plot line carried throughout.
Like, oh, okay, we can work with this.
And it's supposed to be like the strange bedfellows of, like, you know, the rowdy, you know, type guy of Spence, and then this uptight hotel manager. The little girl that you mentioned earlier that Spence is friends with
is
the heiress's daughter. So she is convinced to marry Spence or blah, blah. And so the uncle's trying to prove it's a sham. But then there's this side plot of this necklace Spence finds inside of a shark that he gives the little girl. And then there's Flash Gordon. The guy who plays Flash Gordon is in this. He's some like square jawed villain who wants the necklace. And that's like the last half hour of the movie that he kidnaps.
It has like a treasure map on it.
He kidnaps the little girl. And there's also this side character who's like the bartender of like the beach bar.
I feel
like she's a British actress, and her only American accent she can do is New York.
Yeah.
So she's randomly from New York. And again, there may be more context presented in the show.
Sure.
And then like last half hour is the little girl and the New York bartender are kidnapped, and like Brew has a thing for her. So she shows up in the show.
Yeah. And the heiress, obviously she gets her hotel franchise if she marries someone, and Hogan, they don't like each other, kind of like you said, strange bedfellows.
Yeah,
but he sunk his life savings into this boat, and I guess the patent for the boat was passed on,
and it or like a different like company who essentially like
stole the idea of Thunder is selling it to the government, so now they can't make money. It's
basically
off of it.
Like, you marry me, I get my hotel, and I'll pay off your debts or whatever, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To which you could have totally run with.
Yeah.
That could have been your whole movie, and you could still, you know, the uncle can hire henchmen, and you can still have Hogan, and you can still, and it can be more comedic.
Yeah.
And I have notes further down on what you can do.
Uh-huh.
But I say the beat, I reference a newspaper because there's a newspaper journalist that just bellies up to the bar and is asking, like, you know, what's the latest gossip? What's the latest scoop? And I was like, on this beach in this town? Mm-hmm. Like, does this beach itself have its own newspaper?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, someone that is in the movie very briefly and we don't really see again.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Garrett from The Facts of Life.
Caroline Ray
is in this movie.
Charlotte Ray.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Caroline in the city.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Charlotte Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mrs. Garrett.
And so when she showed up, I wanted this movie to shift gears into a Facts of Life crossover so bad.
Yes.
They could have conceivably done it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could have had I'm sure there was a Facts of Life Baywatch crossover somewhere.
Well,
I mean, there wasn't, but like, you could have conceivably done it.
You at least have, you know, Tootie and Mindy Cohen on. I don't know. Sorry, I didn't call
Slappy.
What was Nancy McKeon doing?
Joe.
Yeah, exactly. She was making Lifetime movies at the point.
Yeah, exactly. She could have been in Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not better than this, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. After the rescue mission, they return to domestic waters to a hero's welcome, which seems a little strange for a secret rescue mission.
Oh, yeah. That's right. They mentioned it was a secret.
I
would just kind of came to the conclusion
that it was
that any rescue mission is some sort of secret
rescue mission. The Cubans.
Yeah, but like, how did all these people know about it?
It's big news,
and there's not one person that could have tipped them off or what. Like,
yeah,
it's just there's too much margin for error.
Yeah,
and it just felt weird to me.
Yeah,
and you know, it's one of those things where if so many people know about it, eventually Cuba would know about it. Like, through some sort of American media outlet.
Which I think during the mission they were aware of them coming.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If they had to go, well, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. A drunk Hulkster destroyed a fucking shark, continuing to prove that the Hulkster doesn't job for anyone, not even sharks.
Yes.
Which is he's telling the little girl a story about when he was drunk. His friends, quote unquote, put him in a shark tank with a hungry shark.
Yeah.
And he killed the shark.
Because he was in this. That's the part where I was like, I feel like he's cutting one of his promos.
Yeah.
Like when he's going on about like grabbing it by its dorsal fin and
just
ripping it from the jaw in half and blah, blah, blah.
From the jaws of defeat, brother.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought that was ridiculous. And I was like, even in a movie, he can't even job out to a shark. Yeah,
exactly.
And then he gives the little girl a necklace he found in the belly of a shark,
which is kind of,
that's what leads into
it's
that.
It's used in the quote unquote third act of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Another note I have here says, so does Brew have sex with this boat?
Only because he's like,
look at you, baby.
Yeah. There were just a few things he was doing. To where I was like, so are you like going to have sex with it now or something?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few covertly placed holes in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's probably.
Yeah.
And we ain't talking plot holes.
Nope, there's plenty of those.
Yeah. There's an arm wrestling match.
Of course there is.
Hulk Hogan and Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, like, Brutus Beefcake is standing
of
there.
Of course.
And Jimmy Hart,
of course.
Like the ref. Yeah, and so after Hogan wins, Beefer comes over and is like, he raises his hand and stuff like that. And I wrote Beefer literally hanging on to Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
Because he's a hanger on.
It's poetry. It's metaphor.
Yeah, exactly.
Poetry rhymes.
When Hulk agrees to the marriage, he takes his sunglasses off and looks cockeyed. And I said, please put the eye patch back on. That was the note.
I made a note about that to where, There's a long shot of it's supposed to be this like over exaggerated like he professes, I think Kelly's her name, like the heiress.
It's not.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But
Brenda.
Sheena.
Brenda.
Yeah. Brenda and Sheena. Yeah.
Sheena, Queen of the East.
Yeah.
But it has to be like super public, so her uncle knows and so everybody knows that she's getting married. Spence goes really over the top, and after he professes quote unquote love for her, like everybody starts, you know, crowding like, them,
oh,
and, like, congratulating.
Oh, good job, yeah,
and
yeah.
Beefer's the first one who's like, all right, Spence. And
yeah,
my note was Beefer gives himself some lines getting himself over.
Yeah, and then he was like, all right, Spence. And I was like, can I live with you guys?
Yeah, hey, you got an extra room I can see in?
Yeah.
I get my own pinball machine.
Mm-hmm. I think Brew is trying to make brother his catchphrase. I'm pretty sure the YouTube channel Wrestling with Regret.
Yeah.
He did, Brian Zane did a review of this.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he did a whole montage of just Brew saying brother.
Oh, yeah.
Brother.
Yes.
I notated, does he even need the eye patch? Does he just have pink eye? And this was before I remembered he got sucker punched, which is why he's wearing the eye patch. And I had in parentheses, he only had it because of a kayfabe sucker punch. This was the Shoot Mania 9 injury. They are negotiating the sham of a marriage just inches from the officiant.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when they're getting quote unquote married, they're deciding on the terms of the marriage, like quote unquote whispering to each other.
Yeah.
But the officiant is standing just inches from them.
But the thing is, it keeps cutting back to the officiant who seems to have this strange look on his face, but he never says anything.
Yeah.
But then it's like hinted at, like the uncle can maybe hear them because the uncle's has a strange look on his face. But then the uncle stands up to object.
Yeah.
But like everybody looks at him weird, so he just walks off and like in a huff.
Yeah.
Also, that narrative device. So many people have made jokes about this, but that narrative device is so frustrating when you're literally like you're trying to be sneaky.
Yeah.
But you're like saying things that, of course, the audience can hear, and it's supposed to give off the impression that nobody else can hear it.
Right.
Because you're not going to whisper to one another, even though you're mic'd up or whatever. But stop it. That's enough. But it rubs me the wrong way. It rubs me like Brew rubs that boat.
Yeah, exactly. Sex with that boat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he does.
I want you to rub me the right way.
Yeah, exactly. Johnny Gill.
Johnny Gill.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's like the same thing on the opposite end of the spectrum, like in a movie when characters are in a club and they're talking to each other, but it's regular volume.
Yeah.
Just that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this plays more like a plot from Baywatch, which we've already talked about.
Yeah.
Like not even the main plot. I said a subplot. It probably would have been the main plot of an episode.
Yeah.
But there were several moments like, during the marriage when Flash Gordon kidnaps Hulk Hogan's new daughter and he like tackles him and they're fighting on the beach and with the music and all this stuff, like I'm expecting David Hasselhoff or Pam Anderson to jump in to intervene or something. That's what it just kind of felt like.
Yeah.
It does, like we've mentioned before, this doesn't feel like a movie.
No, it doesn't. Which, I mean, it's you know, if you know like the context behind that, you're like, oh, that makes sense. One thing I did make a note about is at the beginning when Hulkster goes to save the characters are Mauro and Alfredo, not Mellow Yellow and Alfredo.
when he's
talking to Brew, he says Mauro so fast. Sounds like
either way, it makes me hungry.
The way he's enunciating it sounds like Mellow Yellow. When he's saving them, Hulkster has them securely. He leaves Thunder in a speedboat in a jet ski to go get them to Cuba and go get them. And when he's leaving, they're getting shot at by assault rifles and machine guns.
Yes.
And I was like, he has them securely placed in front of him as human shields against the gunfire.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to protect himself, brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's politics. Backstage politics.
Exactly.
Another note I had, they keep adding on to the plot. Why are they trying to find treasure? We have a plot already. Rich gal needs to marry Hogan to save her hotel, and Hogan needs to pay off his boat. We already have a villain in her uncle. Why add Flash Gordon? I guess it had to be more of an action movie, but the uncle could have just employed Flash and or Giant Gonzalez as a hitman in sort of a no more Mr. Nice Guy scenario.
Yeah.
Up until that point, it could have been wacky marital hijinks that bring them closer together, make them realize that they do love each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can even throw a little action in there, but it feels more like a rom-com.
Thunder in Paradise can even allude to the Sam and Diane like relationship these two have.
There you go.
But again, it isn't a proper movie. It's the first two episodes, which, you know.
Exactly.
So it doesn't have to literally be a boat called Thunder.
Yeah.
All in all, are those all your notes?
No, I have
I have a few more.
Yeah.
The bad guys try to steal Thunder, the boat.
Yeah.
Thunder, then there's like an automated voice on Thunder.
Yeah, it talks, kind of like Kit from Knight Rider.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Batmobile and Kit and all that stuff.
Thunder is a character.
Yes. Yeah. Thunder said that gives a warning like the weight doesn't match that of authorized members.
Mm-hmm.
So then it begs the question, do Spence and Brew, like, can they never put on or lose any weight?
Yeah.
Can they never have like other people on there? Maybe in certain spots of the boat.
Sure.
Like maybe if it's in like security mode
by
or
the
something.
Control panel.
Yeah.
You know, it's locked until Spence and Brew get on.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. At one point, Hulk Hogan is in a ponytail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it made him look like one of the forefathers.
He's a happy President's Day.
Or one of the founding fathers,
yeah,
I should say.
A happy President's Day.
There you go.
He's got his face paint from Fall Brawl 94 on.
Yes. Yeah. It made me desperately want to see him in a time period film about the Revolutionary War.
Yes, but he's not selling the fact that he's Hulk Hogan.
No. Flash Gordon, the guy who plays Flash Gordon, is really Powers Boothing in this movie.
I'd say he's got his working boots on.
He's a very hammy villain.
Yeah, because we see him like in the middle of the second act, right before like the wedding, because it sets up like somebody is recognizing the necklace and there's a significance to it.
And
little girl is in the paper just for wearing the necklace.
Yeah, well, you said, you know, the beach is its own entity.
That's very true.
It has its own newspaper. It's like the Vatican.
Yeah, exactly.
But he sees her in the newspaper, and because all of a sudden we flash to a crew on a big boat, like, who have like missiles and have like all this weaponry and these weapons of mass destruction that they're moving. I was like, are these like weapons smugglers? Do they have anything to do with the Cubans? They don't.
We don't
come back to the Cubans or anything.
So I was trying to make sense of it that way, but there's a part where we see he's kind of the captain of the whole operation,
and he's looking through the paper, and his acting in that part it's very of its time, solid for what that is. But then he starts hamming it up as like this square jawed, like, you know, dastardly villain.
Yeah.
You know, very much there's a threat that's being presented, but he's not, because you know what it is. He's not going to kill anybody.
Yeah.
And then my last note, and this will probably bring about a little bit of conversation. This is clearly a swimming pool. They all end up sunk at the bottom of this body of water, which is supposed to be an ocean. So they sunk hundreds of feet underwater.
Yeah.
So when they're kidnapped, the bad guy has them, all the characters, pretty much tied up and thrown into what appears to be the ocean. They're on a very large body of water. Mm-hmm. They then cut to Hogan, the little girl, and the New York bartender, like all in this body of water, but they all have sunk to the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, and they're all at the bottom of this body of water. But I was like, there is no way. Like, that is clearly a swimming pool.
Yeah, exactly. I know it's just added, you know, it's added for suspense and for tension. You can still have them suspended and, like, kind of drowning, not drowned, but, like, I didn't think about that. Like, I know it's done for a certain reason, but also logically, there's no way they would sink down to the bottom that fast.
Yeah.
There's no way they'd still be alive when they get to the bottom.
Yeah.
And there's no way that Spence and Brew with just a snorkel and their lungs would get to the bottom.
Very big lungs.
Yes, with even the Hulkster's
24
lungs.
24-inch lungs.
Yes, even the Hulkster's lungs would explode at that depth. No matter what he wants to try and tell you.
My lungs are exploding. If they would have given me the shot, brother, I would have saved the Titanic.
Yeah.
I'd wrap a rope around it, I'd put it in my teeth, and I'd drag it to safety.
Yeah.
Anyway, me and the iceberg at SummerSlam. I just encountered a conversation or a piece of dialogue that I sent you. The heiress's name was Megan.
Megan.
Yeah, and they all, Megan, Brew, and Hulk Hogan are like, get trapped by Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
to where they think they're going to die in this little cutout alcove, I guess.
Yeah.
Something on this island that has this treasure.
Yeah.
And basically Hogan finds that there is a way out because they're like, I smell salt water. And he's like, I'll find the source.
Yeah.
And then Hogan swims a long way with his 24-inch lungs.
Yes.
And finds, well, there is a way out. We need to swim. And so he swims back. And as he's swimming out, Megan's like, how long can he stay underneath there? Because she's British.
Yes.
And Bru's like, don't worry about it. He's part whale. And I cut a Hogan promo in my living room. I was like, you ain't got to worry about me, brother. My daddy was dancing with Shamu, Jack.
it's perfect.
Yes. Again, a very reminiscent of things that could have been used or were used in Hogan promos.
Exactly.
But it's a very of its time. It's of that Baywatch era.
So that was kind of Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we kind of, you know, we went on at the beginning there about how, you know, we didn't get together a standard Thunder in Paradise. We're just going to ramble. We're just going to shoot. And then you said, you have notes. So I was like, all right. So we ended up talking about Thunder in Paradise anyway.
How funny, because I don't usually take notes.
So
it was the Lort.
The Lort.
Thank you, Lort.
Serendipitous.
Yes.
No, it works, though.
Yeah.
Because with the ramble, that's the nature of this biz.
Yeah, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, exactly. MLB on Fox.
Yeah.
But that's the nature of it.
Yeah.
Wherever we go, even if it's we didn't intend to talk about Thunder in Paradise, I had a little bit of writer's block. You swooped in and you were like, well, I got some notes. And we ended up talking about it anyway.
There you go.
And that's just what it is.
Yep.
That's just the way it is. But I mean, I don't have anything else.
I think that's good. That's
I'm
solid.
Satisfied.
Yes.
Me too. And I hope all of you were satisfied with that episode. Thank you all, as always, for listening.
Yes.
We very much appreciate it. Make sure you reach out to us on Instagram.
Yep.
Or if you want to go to your podcast app of choice and rate and review. You can leave a review if you'd like. 5-star reviews help the most. But listen to your heart.
Listen to your heart.
When it's calling to you. Underrated group, Roxette.
I love Roxette.
But thank you all for listening. Go listen to Roxette.
Yeah.
It's just their greatest hits. And until the next time, be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.